Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Mastering Defense Infrastructure. We're so excited to have you here for week 6 of this series, and let me just say, you're going to love what we've got planned today.
Absolutely. Over the past 5 weeks, we've deep dived into defense estate procurement, and this really sparked some interesting conversations, didn't it? You know, it's encouraging seeing how actively everyone's engaging with these concepts. It shows just how these lessons are filling a knowledge gap for professionals working in the sector.
Yeah, for sure. What's been great is hearing all the feedback. I mean, we've had folks sharing real-world applications, like rewriting their capability statements and changing their bid processes based on our discussions. How awesome is that?
Very awesome. And it also proves that, when done right, planning and strategy can save not just time and money, but also prevent some of those all-too-common headaches. Like we always say, be proactive, not reactive.
Right? I always picture it like building a bridge before you even know there's a river. It's about being ahead of the curve. And speaking of staying ahead,
today we'll kick off phase 2 of the course by exploring some of the challenges that can bring a defence infrastructure project unstuck and what can be done to address them.
And to do this, we're going to present a new way of thinking, a custom-built framework for project risk management on the defence estate, the DIPRAC framework. It's like the Swiss Army knife for project planning, covering everything you need to get ahead of potential risks. Jess? Why do you think it's been getting so much traction lately?
Well, simply put, it's finally giving teams a structured way to manage risks, risks that, frankly, have been underestimated for far too long. Defence projects are incredibly unique, Darian, right? High stakes, tight schedules, and the complexities, location, stakeholders, those need something more tailored, which DIPRAC delivers.
Exactly. And let's be real, the old approach is kind of outdated. How many stories have we heard about blown out budgets because someone underestimated, I don't know, contaminated soil or forgot a major stakeholder was involved? I mean, come on.
I think we've all seen those disaster headlines. Take, for example, the Naval Guided Weapons Facilities project a few years back. Massive delays, ballooning costs, because no one accounted for the presence of buried unexploded ordnance on the site. DIPRAC, on the other hand, breaks it all down systematically.
Right. Let's talk about those 8 risk categories it's built on. Because, I mean, this is really where it shines.
Of course. Coordination risk is front and centre. Think about it. It's not just about making timelines match. With all the moving parts, multiple design disciplines, layers of existing infrastructure, all it takes is one breakdown in communication for things to spiral.
Been there. And then there's environmental and heritage risk. Oh man. Tell me you haven't heard of construction crews halting because they found, I don't know, an endangered frog or a heritage artifact.
Exactly. Plus, ignoring these risks invites not only delays, but reputational hits. DIPRAC's there to ensure teams handle these sensitivities early and thoroughly, like budgeting for an ecologist from the start. Mitigation, not reactivity.
Next is location risk. And Jess, defence projects aren't exactly happening next door to Bunnings, are they?
Hardly. You're often out in the middle of nowhere. Harsh climates, inaccessible sites, logistics can go sideways fast. A cyclone or flood can disrupt material supplies or halt transport for weeks if you're not prepared. And these sites are operationally important with layers of security and access control.
And then comes stakeholder risk. The big one. I mean, you've been there, trying to align defence branches, councils, maybe even Indigenous groups. A total melting pot of interest.
Yes, and it's made tougher when last-minute changes pop up because an end user went, actually, we need this instead. DIPRAC, though, flags potential misalignments early to reduce that scramble.
All right, so that's 4 down. What's next? Oh, right, information risk. Jess, this one always gets me.
It's a silent killer. Projects are based on assumptions, right? But if your geotechnical data's incomplete or outdated, well, mistakes get baked into plans. DIPRAC forces project teams to challenge those assumptions and close info gaps up front.
And don't even get me started on technical risk. Defence projects love their tech complexity. Whether it's cutting-edge comms gear or base utilities, one hiccup and...
You're facing rework and redesign. But that's why technical risks are central to DIPRAC. It pushes for early expertise, assessing if your local design team can deliver what's needed or if you need to call in the experts.
Which brings us to delivery risk. My favourite, or least favourite, depends on the day. Jess, tight deadlines, high expectations, scarce budgets, what makes or breaks it?
Honestly, contingencies, unexpected labor shortages, machinery breakdowns, these happen. With DipRac, you budget time and money for when, not if, things go wrong.
Okay, last but not least, contractual risk. Jess, you've read, what, a million contracts with those gnarly unlimited liability clauses, huh?
Feels like it. Poorly considered contract terms shift too much risk onto one party, and contractors respond by jacking up fees. DipRac advocates for balanced terms, preventing these cost inflations right from the start.
Wow, Jess, that's the DipRac framework boiled down. 8 categories tailored to avoid the chaos the structure defence infrastructure projects have been crying out for.
And honestly, these categories aren't just lists. They're a lifeline to proactive management. They ensure no risk goes unnoticed, which saves time, money, and let's face it, plenty of headaches.
So now that we've unpacked those 8 DipRac risk categories, let's dive into the good stuff, real-world examples. How do these categories actually perform when the pressure is on? Jess, I know you've seen some chaotic projects firsthand. Any stories where structured risk management like DipRac turned things around?
Absolutely. One that always stands out was a communications site upgrade in Northern Australia. Super remote, environmentally challenging. With DipRac, the team zeroed in on the location and environmental risks right from the start. They knew logistics could be messy, so planners built contingencies around things like transport delays during the wet season. And get this, the contingency included helicopter lifts for unexpected access issues. Talk about thinking ahead.
Wait, helicopter lifts? That's brilliant. It's like they didn't leave any risk unexplored. What did that prep actually achieve in the end?
Well, it kept the project on time and under budget. The contingency planning paid off because, sure enough, heavy rains made the roads impassable for weeks. Without those risk strategies, they'd have been stuck, literally. Instead, everything moved like clockwork.
Wow. Talk about foresight. And what about stakeholder wrangling? You've got heaps of experience there. How does DipRac keep everyone on the same page when chaos is brewing?
It's all about structured engagement. One example I always think of was a training facility project on an active defence base. Stakeholders included base commanders, local councils, and the military units actually using the space. DipRac flagged stakeholder risks early, like scope changes and scheduling clashes with live training exercises, proactive engagement, weekly check-ins and contingency buffers for scope tweaks, kept disruptions to a minimum.
And I bet there were changes. There are always changes. Were any of them massive or...
You know it. Partway through, the end users requested adjustments to the facility layout. New requirements popped up. But we'd accounted for evolving needs as a risk, so the budget and time buffers handled it seamlessly. It was one of those rare projects where stakeholders left happy, deadlines held, and nobody was scrambling last minute.
All right, so the takeaway is clear. Foresee the hiccups and keep stakeholders in the loop. It's almost like DipRac is a relationship counselor on top of being a risk manager.
Exactly. And the broader lesson, it's not just about the framework, it's the culture shift. People stop thinking of risks as scary unknowns and start treating them as challenges you can plan for. A pre-flight checklist. The training facility build worked because every player saw risks as shared, not dumped on one side.
See, that's the part people overlook. Some folks think avoiding risks means hiding from them. But it's the opposite. Shine a light on them, name them, tackle them early. And if planners do it right, it's amazing how smooth things can be.
Exactly. And that's why DipRac structure works so well. It forces those tough conversations early. It's not sexy, but those little preventative moves, they are absolute game changers.
So, speaking of shared risks and teamwork, let's explore something equally critical, collaboration. And not just in the usual two heads are better than one way. I mean collaboration as a proactive strategy. Jess, you've seen it too. Most project issues don't crop up from a lack of planning, but from someone trying to offload risk instead of embracing it collectively. Would you agree?
Couldn't agree more. And it's true that heavy-handed risk shifting, especially in defence contracts, often backfires. Contractors inflate fees to protect themselves. Clients get frustrated, it's inefficient, and honestly, it erodes trust.
Exactly. If you're operating in a winner-takes-all mindset, everyone loses, right? But when both sides work together, I mean, magic happens. Seriously, we're talking efficiency, better communication, better outcomes across the board, and DecNet's proposed DipRac framework is putting teamwork at center stage.
That's key, honestly. Right now, DECNET is pushing for community input. Our new white paper doesn't just explain the DIPRAC framework. It actively invites feedback, looking to fine-tune it based on real-world challenges. It's a powerful move because the Defence Estate community knows these projects inside out.
And we're not just gathering opinions to tick a box. This is about creating a tool that's actually useful. If the folks in the field, the ones dealing with remote sites, heritage issues, budgets, if they've had a say, they're more likely to use it and trust it.
Absolutely. And to make that happen, training is non-negotiable. The white paper suggests targeted workshops and even certifications, a way for project managers, risk officers, contractors to get on the same page, using a common language and tools to implement the framework effectively.
Right. Because let's face it, adoption is everything. It's not enough to write a cooler rule book. You got to teach people how to play by it. That's why the DIPRAC framework emphasizes professional development. I mean, wouldn't you prefer to hire a project team certified in sector-specific risk management?
The benefits compound too. Standardized practices mean historical data from one project actually informs the next. Suddenly, you're not starting from scratch every time. It builds a culture of shared learning, collaboration, and, honestly, a level of predictability defense projects don't always have.
It's like everyone stops pointing fingers, yeah? We tackle risks instead of you or me. That's transparency at its best. Shine a light, share solutions. A blueprint for making projects run smoother, even in tricky defense environments.
Exactly. Collaborative risk allocation isn't just theory, it's about reshaping outcomes. By focusing on trust, proactive involvement, and most importantly, transparency, we can significantly reduce inefficiencies and cost overruns. That's the vision, to not just manage risks, but to thrive through them together.
So, thinking about how collaboration reshapes outcomes, let's not lose sight of the practical steps we need to take moving forward. Jess, why don't you kick us off with a summary of what's next?
Well, for starters, don't forget to complete the quiz on this week's lesson webpage. It's short, but it really helps solidify what you just learned, especially if you've been listening while multitasking, like some of us tend to do.
Hey, no judgment there. Podcasts were made for multitasking. What else, Jess?
So this week's exercise is all about applying what we've talked about. Choose one of your company's upcoming projects and have a go at reviewing it with the concepts we've covered. Look at those 8 DIPRAC risk categories. Why not try using FeeMaster, the online tool that's been custom built for calculating contingency using the DIPRAC framework? You can access it at decnet.com.au/FeeMaster. Then share your findings and discuss the outcomes with your peers in the forum. It's a solid way to see how this really plays out in the field.
Yeah, it's one thing to hear it, but actually doing it? That's where the magic happens. And if something clicks, or if you've got questions, hit reply to that email we sent with today's episode. We'd love your feedback. What's working? What's not? Anything.
Oh, and if you're enjoying the series, think about sharing it. Recommend it to a colleague or a friend who could use these insights. You never know, that one nudge from you could make someone's next project a whole lot smoother.
Absolutely. The more we all share these tools, the better defense infrastructure projects can get. All right, team, let's call it here. Jess, it's been a blast as always.
It has. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Keep learning, keep applying, and we'll see you next time.
Bye for now. And remember, manage those risks before they manage you.